Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Why We Watch, the show for fans, by fans, about fans. I am Mags, and today I've got a guest whose podcast may have the most self-deprecating name in our little community. I don't think I would have had the balls and the gumption to call my podcast the worst wrestling podcast at all, but there we go. Today I've got the host of this podcast, and to be frank, it's definitely not the worst wrestling podcast at all. It's one of the most fun kind of in just lighthearted podcasts you can listen to. So today I'm talking with the star of that show, Justin. Justin, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you, sir?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I mean, for context, we have just been literally recording an episode of Band Lad, so we have been chatting away. But yeah, I really do enjoy your podcast. It's one that's relatively new on my radar. I listen to a shed load of podcasts, and you've only been really going since October. But you've really kind of, I've really took to your podcast. It's one that, like, you get excited about listening to because of the energy you bring and the fun that you bring to it.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that. Yeah, it's kind of doing a solo podcast is it's rather challenging, but I try to make it fun. I try to do some quirky stuff when it comes to my content, and even when it comes to predicting a pay-per-view, I kind of do some random stuff to choose a wrestler that I have no idea who's gonna win, so I just do like a mini mini mo type thing. Yeah, it's awfully strange, but I definitely appreciate you listening, and for everybody else that listens, awesome, thank you, appreciate it. But like you said, there's a lot of wrestling podcasts out there, and I definitely try to listen to as many as I possibly can. I almost kind of steer away from all those big name ones. But I really do enjoy listening to a pure wrestling fan's perspective on what they're watching. So it's a good community that we have, especially on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get more into the podcast later on, but let's start at the beginning. Let's start with your first ever experience or your first ever memory of wrestling. What got you into this this wacky world of people pretending to fight in their underpants?
So I was told growing up that I started watching wrestling when I was like a baby, that I would watch wrestling on my dad's lap. Now, I don't know if that's actually true or not. So the real memory that I have is these pictures of me when I was probably like two, where my aunt actually made a replica belt out of like fake leather and used like studs to make like the W for WWF. So I want to say probably that would be like my memory, as in like what wrestler that would come to mind. It would probably obviously would have to be Hulk Hogan, kind of being born in 84. Hogan is basically the man for WWF and for the world of wrestling. So I guess memory wise, I guess for wrestler wise, it would be him. But I just remember a whole variety of wrestlers though. That's just the thing. It's not just him. It's, the Ultimate Warrior, the Demolition, the British Bulldogs, the Hart Foundation, the Rockers, the Macho Man. It's just, there's so many. So, but I guess Hulk Hogan would be kind of like the main one.
Mm-hmm. So looking back then, what do you think it was that kind of drew you in with wrestling? Was it kind of like the characters, or was it the colors, the bright kind of, because back in the 80s and 90s, it was very kind of brat orientated, looking to like attract the younger viewers? What was it that drew you in?
You know, I think it was more of the characters. You know, Hulk Hogan was just a big guy. You know, granted he had yellow trunks and, you know, yellow boots and red knee pads, but he had like, you know, he had the best Hulk or the best tan going on that anybody could see. But, you know, but then you have like the Ultimate Warrior who had that entrance, you know, who as a kid, you saw him, you hear the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you just see him running out and he has his makeup on. He's got his boots with these tassels, his tassels around his arm. And you're like, oh my God, like as a kid, you're just like, this guy's cool. He goes in there. His match lasts like 5 seconds and he runs back out. It's like the amazing thing ever. So I think it was more like character driven when just me enjoying wrestling at the time. You know, obviously as I got older, things changed. But I think as a kid, it was just more character driven than anything else.
So when you look back at that era, do you look back on it with fondness that was what got you interested? Or do you look back and think, Jesus Christ, what was I watching back then?
You know, like as an adult, going back, it's more of like, Jesus Christ, what was I watching? And why was I watching this? Yeah, I mean, you know, there was pictures of me in kindergarten where I had like the t-shirts and the backpacks. And it's like, holy cow, like who, like why am I watching these guys? Like, why am I watching I don't even know. Like, it's just kind of, it was really weird. Like when you look back and you look at the 80s wrestlers, the early 90s. And as you kind of move on eras, then you went into like, you know, the Bastion Booger and Duke the Dumpster Drozzy and the Manitar, whatever his name was. Like, then you go into some weird gimmicks. Then you're like, really, why am I really watching this? So it's a strange thing, wrestling.
Definitely. I recently went back and watched the first ever In Your House. I mean, we've just come off the NXT's kind of revamp, nostalgia-driven version of it. So I thought I'll go back and watch that, see if I have fond memories. And, oh, my God, it's such a horrific pay-per-view to actually watch in terms of in-ring. I mean, we had there's a match on it with Goldust and the Ultimate Warrior, and I don't think they actually even wrestle. You just see Warrior smoking a cigar, smashing up a chair, and that's pretty much it. There's no wrestling to be had. But I think what drew me in was the passion of the crowd, and that's what reminds me of why you enjoyed it at the time. It's because it was a different eyes, a different kind of mindset of a fan. It was the colours, the characters, and yeah, that's what you loved it for. Now as a wrestling fan, if that was on TV, you'd be kind of like, nah, I'll change the channel. But yeah, I can understand why I was in love with it at the time.
Yeah, and like you said, the crowd, like, you know, watching it, when you look back, and I never really noticed the crowd as much as a kid. You saw the signs and stuff like that. But now, like, as an adult, and you kind of go back and you watch some of those older pay-per-views, or even when they have, you know, when WWE comes out with any of their, you know, their little documentaries, and they kind of show, you know, matches from those eras, there were so many, the fans were crazy about it. Like, they were really, like, even regardless if you're a kid or an adult, like, you were cheering, you were booing, you were crying, like, you had all those emotions. And it's cool looking back when it comes to, like, the fans' perspective of wrestling of back then.
Yeah, absolutely. So one question I like to ask all the guests on the show is, has there ever been a period where you kind of fell out of love with wrestling, where it was just not the product for you anymore, you weren't interested, you kind of drifted away?
So with me, I always watched it, regardless if it was WWF or WWE or WCW. I always watched it, and actually, I didn't actually come out of watching wrestling until I got, you know, a little bit older, and you know, I met my wife, or my girlfriend now, or my wife now at the time, and we kind of started, you know, I guess real life kind of started for me. that's kind of like when I got out of watching wrestling, you know, where I was only kind of going to like the website or their app now to kind of catch up on certain things. But now that, you know, I have a little bit more time, I guess, per se, to kind of sit back and watch things. That would be like the only time, because I always, you know, I was obsessed with wrestling. I mean, I would get pissed off when kids at school would say, you know, that's fake. I would like get into like fights because I believed in it so much. So I always watched it, even when WWE had like the worst of the worst, you know, gimmick storylines, products. I still watched it, you know, WCW, when they would have some of the weirdest stuff going on. And when they didn't know their ass from a hole in the ground in the 90s up until, you know, the whole NWO thing came, I still watched it. And it's, I, you know, I had parents that like, they knew I loved it, so they never took it away from me. They always kind of like allowed me to enjoy it. And they would buy me the figures. They would buy me the video games. And, you know, they knew I loved it, so they didn't ever crush my love and passion for wrestling.
Oh, that's cool. A lot of the stories that we get off guests is that the parents were staunchly against it, and it was, they had to almost sneak like getting to be able to get the wrestling fix. So it's cool that you had parents who just allowed you to enjoy it, which is what wrestling is all about, essentially. So you've been pretty much a lifelong wrestling fan, aside from that kind of little dip, and you've gone through some great eras of wrestling and some not so great eras of wrestling, the kind of rock and roll era, the new generation, the gimmick jobs era, attitude era, ruthless aggression, now into this kind of reality based PG style era. Which kind of era of wrestling would you say you were the most invested in wrestling?
I think the one era that I was probably more invested would probably be more the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. I think that was because, you know, I was a preteen going into the teenage, you know, I had that mindset of like, this is cool, like I want to be like these guys, like I want to be part of D-Generation X. Yeah. Or when I get older, I want to act like Stone Cold Steve Austin. So it was a little bit more like connecting when it comes to like the emotions of seeing what those guys were doing. That was a little bit more, I think that's more of like what I'll connect with. You know, as a kid, I watched it because I just loved it, you know. And mm-hmm. as I got older, it was a little bit more, I could have a little bit more sense of, you know, storylines and character wise and stuff like that.
Yeah, it got to a point where in the Attitude Era it was must see TV, and they left you wanting more. You couldn't wait till the next Monday for the next episode or to find out what the continuation of the storyline were. And I think at that period, why it's so revered is because not only did they kind of touch on that kind of demographic, they really hit that young teen demographic when it was cool to be a wrestling fan. But with the WWF and The Rock, Austin McMahon kind of like era, and then you had the NWO era, it was almost like we had lightning in a bottle where two big companies were producing really exciting, entertaining product. And we kind of get into that now with AEW and NXT, so hopefully we can kind of get a cool little revamp of wrestling. But yeah, I understand that. It was definitely the era that I was the most invested in.
Yeah, and it's insane, like, when you think about it and you look back, and, like, for WCW and WWE to pull in, like, their ratings of, you know, like, 6 million to 8 million viewers a week, mm-hmm. and to compare, like, what the WWE and AEW are pulling now, it is insane. But like, there's a big difference of the amount of people that are actually, you know, watching wrestling. And it's, and I don't know, like, what do you think is, like, where's the difference? Where is it where there was such a hype for wrestling and everybody watched it in that era where there are 6 to 8 million people on a Monday night tuning in for wrestling, to now where only 1 to 2 million people are watching wrestling? Like, what do you think? What happened?
For me, I think it's not having that competition. I think WWE have grown so big that they're almost not a wrestling company anymore. They're an entertainment company. Their competition is the likes of Disney, or their competition is the likes of the UFC. And I think that's the kind of the problem is when the WWE get comfortable, when they have no one snapping at the heels, they don't produce the best content that they can. And the fans know when the WWE aren't putting the effort in, and you've seen it, the viewing figures drive down. But I think another big factor is the way that we can get the content nowadays. You don't necessarily have to watch a live program on TV to get your wrestling fix anymore, because within 10, 15 minutes, those clips are on YouTube. Within 10, 15 minutes, you're on Twitter and you can see what's gone on. So you don't have to sit through a three-hour show to know exactly what's going on. For instance, here in Britain, Raw starts at 1 o'clock in the morning. Absolutely no chance on God's green earth I'm staying up at 1 o'clock in the morning to watch 3 hours of Raw to only maybe enjoy 30 minutes of it, because a lot of it just doesn't speak to me. And I think that's the main issue. You see that the YouTube numbers and the viewing figures go through the roof for WWE, but then you see the actual like Nielsen figures going through the floor. And I think it's the shift in viewing patterns and viewing kind of techniques that fans are having.
Yeah, so, and like when we talk about like that, it's like, so, do you think that like eventually, I think for WWE, like they obviously are a, you know, they're a public traded company, so mm-hmm. they're more of a business. So they look, you know, for those TV deals with USA and Fox. But do you think that a wrestling company could do more if they just kind of kept it on like the internet, as in like NWA, you know, has their program Power, but it's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy the NWA Power. Like it's, I wish that the Revival would have signed with NWA.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think they would have fit extremely well. Mm-hmm. They would have fit so good in that company. You know, I'm glad that they are, you know, where they are now, but I really would have liked them to see NWA. But do you think eventually, like, do you think that a company could survive just being on like a YouTube or streaming their products on the internet?
A smaller company, absolutely. I know quite a few smaller wrestling companies that do survive from that social media grabbing with the YouTube figures and the Twitch streaming, stuff like that. I think for a company the size of WWE, those figures are almost like a tertiary income. The obviously the big money is the TV deals, but then you've also got these deals they met with Saudi Arabia. You've got the merchandise, you've got the licensing, and if you actually like deep dive into the figures that WWE produce every year, they've got so many revenue streams. It's absolutely unreal. They've got their fingers in almost every kind of like revenue pie that you can think of, to the point where the wrestling is just not the biggest selling point anymore. It's all these revenue streams, and then you've got the kind of viewing figures going down for almost every kind of TV show out there. But yet TV companies are throwing more and more money for live programming. So I think WWE's kind of business plan, it's working for them. They don't necessarily focus on the number of viewers now, because it's not as important as it was maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's so true. And I you know, I think, you know, excuse me, but, you know, to me, as someone that has grown up watching it, you know, and people that nowadays have, you know, such a negative outlook on the WWE, you know, like if you've seen some stuff and, you know, interviews that Vince McMahon, you know, he doesn't do many, but when he does, he tells you flat out, like, we're not a wrestling company, we're sports entertainment, we're Hollywood, we make movies. It, you know, so if you are going to tune into WWE, like, don't expect to get like the best wrestling matches ever. You know, you're going to get some weird stuff. Like, you're going to get storylines that involved, like, Otis and Mandy. Like, that's Hollywood. You know, that's a Hollywood themed movie. So, like, that's what you're going to get. And if you don't like it, then there are alternate options. Like, there's AEW, there's NWA. I mean, there's so many, you know, companies out there, even the indies. You know, I know there's websites out there or apps out there, or, you know, Fight TV, where they have all these different smaller independent programs that you can get your wrestling matches on there. But if you're going to watch WWE, know that you're not going to get wrestling content. You're going to get some storylines that you might not agree with or don't even like, or it might be too childish for you. But there are other options. So watch the other options.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think even if you look under the just the WWE umbrella, they throw so much product at you that it's almost like they're trying to hit every kind of fan base possible. If you like the indie style, the kind of alternative style, you've got your NXT. If you're into that kind of exciting, fast-paced, flippy stuff, they put out 205 Live. If you like the Brit Rest style, you've got NXT UK. If you want just regular documentary style programming, they throw so much of that at you. It's unreal. And even like with things like Camp WWE, they're drawing in the kids. It's almost like they want to hit every single demographic out there. And whilst it may not look like it's working on Raw, especially for fans like us who've been watching for such a long, long time, WWE are making record profits year on year, so something must be working. And I think it's a case of mainstream media and even like the wrestling media focusing on the viewing figures that makes WWE look like it's on a downswing, but yet they're still making more money than they've ever made before. So there's obviously something there that we as fans are kind of not seeing because they're still so popular.
Yeah, do you think they'll ever get do you think they'll ever sell it? Think of Mr. Man will ever sell it?
I bet he's been tempted over the years. But I mean, what is he now? 75? He's surely getting to the point where it's time for him to wrap it up. I mean, I'm not one of these kind of people who are like Vince is ruining the WWE, because at the end of the day, it's his company, it's his mindset, it's his kind of vision. But I don't know. I'm torn between whether he would sell up and kind of allow someone else to kind of follow that vision, or if it's something that he'd like to pass down to Shane and Steph and Trips to keep it in the family almost.
Yeah, and you know, I enjoy, like, you know, as an adult, I enjoy all aspects of wrestling, whatever company it is. I enjoy it. You know, I enjoy the matches. You know, I think there's so many young, up-and-coming wrestlers that are out there that we don't even know of that will eventually make their name known. But, like, for WWE, like, you know, like you said, there's so much they offer us so much content. And, you know, I didn't really know much of the UK scene. And I'm not saying that NXT UK is, you know, really is. And I'm not sure, you know, you have to kind of fill me in, but you know, I'm not sure if they're really showing, you know, the actual the scene of UK when it comes to their products. Their takeovers that they put on are extremely remarkable. Mm-hmm. Like the first one that I saw, I was like, oh my God. I was blown away by the wrestlers themselves and the matches that they put on. It is so stiff. I'm like, whoa. Like the hits that were thrown out, I'm like, wow. But like, for you being over there, do you think that the NXT UK is showing like the scene of UK?
The best way I could explain NXT UK in terms of how it is in the British scene is it's exactly what you would expect a WWE version to be, kind of watered down, kind of like made for the masses. It's definitely got the elements in there of what makes the British scene great, but made for a WWE audience, if you understand what I mean. As hard hitting as the NXT UK show is, that's like being tickled compared to some of the matches that I've been able to see. I mean, we've even seen it in progress being drafted into like the WWE umbrella, and they've kind of watered down their product to stay in line with WWE's kind of mindset. But some of the wrestling over here is phenomenal, and I urge anybody to go out and go onto like independentwrestling.tv or PowerSlam and just try and just get a hold of watching some of these shows. These companies like Reach are doing amazing stuff. Riptide down on the South Coast, just some quality hard hitting, but also the British wrestling style has always been very technical based, and there's essences of that in a lot of the companies. But we're also getting that kind of that American and New Japan flair with the half lane and that kind of wrestling. So it's almost like a big melting pot here in Britain. But if you were to just watch NXT UK, I think you're doing yourself as a fan a bit of a disservice, because whilst it's a little snapshot of what the British scene's like, it's not a full picture, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'll definitely have to kind of like delve more into it, because you know I like kind of more that hard hitting, you know, stiff, you know, action. So I'll definitely have to look into it.
Yeah, well, really just. There's so much good wrestling. I mean, you've got RCW in Scotland who are doing great things. OTT in Ireland, wow. If you were to follow one kind of British-based promotion, I would recommend OTT. It's just so, so, so good.
Definitely have to look into it then.
Wowie Watch is proud to be working with powerslam.tv. You can use our code MAGS to get yourself a 30-day free trial and watch up to 4,000 hours of quality independent wrestling content. Just make sure you sign up with your laptop for the code to work, and then after that you can download the Android app or the App Store app and watch this amazing content from powerslam.tv.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
So getting back to your wrestling story, and we've kind of touched on it there with your wrestling family, but what current wrestling products are really like? Are you invested in? What do you get excited about?
You know, I don't think I really get excited as much. I enjoy what AEW is doing. You know, I was happy that they, you know, that Tony Khan kind of had the idea of starting up a wrestling company. I kind of like their way that they approached it, where they didn't say to a certain extent that they're not here for competition, that they're here just for, you know, an alternative for those wrestling fans. You know, I enjoy the aspect of them kind of being a little bit more, where the wrestlers have a little bit more control to a certain extent of their creative. Obviously you can tell on their promos that they're not scripted. they pretty much just go out there and free fall it. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, and that's stuff that I'm enjoying what they're doing. I'm enjoying their matches. They have a really good roster. A lot of young guys that, you know, that we did not really know of, that some people knew of, from the indies and such. I'm not a fan of people that say, you know, that are talking about all these wrestlers that they sign, you know, that are WWE, like, it doesn't matter where they came from, mm-hmm. as long as they make that effort to make a new name for themselves in a new organization, that's all that matters. You know, Chris Jericho's Chris Jericho. He can go anywhere, he's still Chris Jericho. Moxley's the same thing. You know, I forget that he, to a certain extent, was in WWE, that he was part of the Shield, that he was Dean Ambrose. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, he's just Moxley now, you know. So, and the same thing with Brody Lee and Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy's Matt Hardy. Like, I don't think of him as an ex-WWE guy. I think of him as Matt Hardy.
Yeah, and, I agree.
You know, people just need to view that and see that they're not, they're ex-WWE guys. But a lot of these guys come from different, you know, organizations where it might be New Japan or it might be Impact or it might be WWE or even a small independent. It doesn't matter. Like, they're still here to make a name. They're here to build AEW. And I like that. To me, that's cool, you know. And I enjoyed ECW when ECW was in the 90s and you couldn't really see ECW. It came on certain days and certain times and you never knew when it was going to be coming on. But when you saw it, I enjoyed it. Like, ECW to me was awesome. They didn't have the best camera work. They didn't have the best production, but you know what? Like, the matches that they put on, even if it was a hardcore bloodbath with chairs, flaming tables, barbed wire, I enjoyed the lucha aspect that they had with their matches, the cruiserweight matches that they would have. ECW at the time gave you everything for any fan. And I enjoyed it. Like, I liked it. So it's, you know, I will watch anything and everything because now I have a different eye on the sport of wrestling versus, you know, looking at it as when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, let's get into that. What is it about watching it now as an adult as compared to as a child? How do you view wrestling differently? And especially having a podcast about wrestling, do you watch it more analytical, like almost in a kind of taking notes kind of vibe, or are you able to just shut off and enjoy it for what it is?
So I look at it a lot in a different ways. You know, I look at it now more of an appreciation to what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate that, you know, now kind of like knowing, you know, what they do, the training and the schooling and all the bumps down the road that they've gone through. I appreciate everything that they do. You know, they go out there, and regardless of what organization, as a wrestler, they go out there, they put their lives on the line to give us something that we enjoy as fans, but they enjoy because they love what they do. So I look at it like that. Then I'll look at it as in, you know, more of sometimes of like of a business. Like, you know, WWE, like I said, you know, before, they're approaching their product differently. So it's like I have to accept what WWE is putting out, and yeah, some of it is not good. You know, I'm not going to say that they put out great stuff. Some of it is really bad. Some of it, I don't get, nor do I understand. And nor do I lose sleep like trying to figure it out, because none of us will ever figure out what Vince McMahon thinks in his head. So like, we just need to accept what we get from him as much as we want more from it. We don't know. I mean, for all we know, like in 2 years or 3 years or even a year, he might be thinking that far in advance where he's going to drop a bomb on us. And we're like, wow, the WWE is the greatest wrestling organization out there. We have no idea. That's just what you get.
That would be some amazing long-term booking from WWE.
Yeah, which but it's just like WWE is like, that's what it is right now. Like, we have no idea what we're going to get when it comes to anything from the WWE. So it's like, we get what we get. But, you know, with AEW, like, it's, I watch because it's new, it's fresh. And I enjoy their storylines. So I don't, you know, like, as it right now, I don't try to pull out all the negatives of everything that they're doing wrong. Because a lot of wrestlers, they do things wrong. Or these organizations, they do things that are wrong. But it's all based on what you personally view. And me personally, I'm not going to go in and watch every single match and pick it apart and say, well, this is garbage or that was garbage or this doesn't make no sense. Why do that? Because I don't know. So I'm just going to go in there. I'm going to enjoy it. Yeah. If it's bad, I'm going to say, yeah, for me personally, it was bad. I didn't like it. I didn't feel it. You know, a lot of people, I've heard over, saw over Twitter that a lot of people really didn't enjoy the NXT In Your House. They just thought it was complete garbage. That, normally every takeover that we get is above and beyond, 7 out of 10 or 8 out of 10. But you know what? This In Your House to me was just more of a retro throwback good feeling of In Your House for it being 25 years. And their intent probably was not to give us the takeover matches that we expect when we see it. It was more of just nostalgic feeling, more enjoying the matches that they put on. That's just the way I looked at it. But someone else, obviously people were not happy for it. But that's their personal view on it, their personal opinion. I just take things a little bit more differently. I'm not that serious when it comes to if Adam Cole doesn't give me the best match ever. I'm like, well, you know what? Adam Cole might not have been, clicky with Velveteen that night where, they didn't give us the best match. Like, it is what it is. Like, we'll just have to accept it.
Yeah. And I think, I enjoyed the show. There were what I would say is a couple of turds in the punch bowl. But I think having a show that doesn't reach those kind of levels that the takeovers have produced, it kind of almost refreshes the palate. So the next takeover, if it's better than the one that's just been, it makes it kind of stand out a bit more, because if every takeover is always the very best takeover that they've ever done, eventually as a fan you get almost oblivious to it. So you sometimes need that kind of drop in quality to go, whoa, these guys aren't infallible. They're not going to always produce the most incredible content. And then the next one comes along and you think, wow, that was absolutely amazing. So it's a kind of a refresher for me for it to not be the very best takeover that they've ever produced.
Yeah, I think, and especially when you look at NXT now, like they are kind of like almost in that transition stage where we're going to get like a new crop of wrestlers that are going to showcase the brands. They're almost like, they're not like rebuilding, but it's almost like, if you want to use the term rebuilding, it's they're rebuilding the brand, and they're going to push it to a different level. Matt Riddle obviously is going to SmackDown, and there's so many other rumors of different wrestlers going to SmackDown or Raw, but they're just in a rebuilding stage. And regardless, like, whoever they use, all the wrestlers that are part of NXT are great wrestlers. Like, they're going to give us something. So let's just chill, relax. And I guarantee you, once we get the next takeover, they're going to give us a 10 out of a 10.
Yeah, absolutely. You've mentioned AEW and you've mentioned NXT. What's your thought on this kind of battle between the two on this almost Monday Night War light with the Wednesday Night War? What's your take on that?
Well, I think AEW, for them kind of being new, I think that they're doing really well, especially during this quarantine, COVID, coronavirus pandemic thing and what's going on. I think the way that they utilize, their heels and their faces and putting them out there as the audience and allowing them to kind of bicker, with each other or even with some of the wrestlers, I think that was great. I think AEW is doing a lot of good things that the WWE is not. And that's maybe because WWE is a little bit more inside the box. WWE will always do what WWE does, and that's just the way the company is. They've probably been doing it for so long that they just kind of become immune to it. But when it comes to like the wars, I think that NXT should go on the road. As much as they probably, it's a little more cost effective to kind of stay at Full Sail and do all their NXTs live there, I think that they should go on the road. I think they should do just like small venues. They don't have to go out and sell out a 10,000 arena place. You know, if they find an arena where it's like 5,000, 3,000, go there. Because I can guarantee that they'll sell out, come close to it, but they need to go live in an arena and not stay in that same full sale. So I think AEW is probably, they're doing so much more better when it comes to these Wednesday night wars that it makes, you know, NXT not look so good.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. It's, it's almost like NXT have had to change their kind of wrestling approach to meet AEW head-to-head. And they, like I said, they're in this kind of transition period where they're losing some of the big stars and they've got to quickly build up stars to take that place. And AEW have been fantastic in this this pandemic era, being really innovative, not only with the cinematic matches, but with having the wrestlers as crowds, and they've really kind of brought a freshness to the product when it could have easily been, it could have easily gone down the pan with in terms of having no fans. And it's cool to have that dichotomy of two different wrestling companies kind of battling on the same night to give two really good. Really good products at the end of the day.
Yeah, and we also can, like, as much as people want to talk about WWE and AEW and stuff like that, but we also have to remember like Impact, as much as like they have like a lineage of people not really enjoying their product, if you watch some of their stuff now, like what they kind of been doing for the past 6 months or so, if you give them a chance, like they put out some pretty good products. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but like, and from my understanding, is like Ring of Honor, I'm not 100% sure. Maybe you can kind of help me out with this. They have money, don't they? Like the company as a whole, don't they have money?
Yeah, Sinclair Broadcasting is okay. as rich as WWE.
So, like, if they actually kind of like took a chance on themselves and actually kind of put themselves out there where they can get somewhat of a TV deal with someone, I think that they can get more, you know, of an audience, because like I guess Ring of Honor themselves have extremely good wrestlers. They could come up with good storylines, and you know, with Marty Scurll kind of being the booker man, they can be a head-to-head with these guys too. But I'm not sure why they don't do it, but hopefully eventually they will.
Yeah, and that's one of the best things about being a fan in this era of wrestling is the choice. You mentioned about Impact. They're doing some quality work. Yeah, they've got this kind of stigma of being like the company that's always on the verge of going under. But you look at the stuff they're doing with Tessa being the first ever legitimate female world champion. But then you've got the likes of MLW, who I think recently just signed a huge deal to be on the DAZN network. It's just wrestling's entering this like really cool like boom period. And then we've got New Japan on its way back, which that excites me so much that I've missed New Japan wrestling. But the way wrestling is kind of promoted now is very social media centric. The majority of wrestling fans, especially in our kind of community, get a lot of their news and get a lot of their opinions out on wrestling Twitter. How, as a member of Wrestling Twitter, how do you feel about the benefits of Wrestling Twitter in terms of connecting with fans and getting opinions and being able to like connect with your favorite wrestlers and companies, as opposed to the kind of toxic side of it where we get stan culture and we get kind of people mass reporting accounts to get them suspended because they don't agree with what one person says. How do you kind of like see that almost two-sided coin of wrestling Twitter?
So wrestling Twitter, like, you know, I had you know, just a kind of like my own Twitter beforehand, and it was kind of, you know, just more generic. So when I started this podcast, obviously was geared towards more wrestling. But I will say this, the positive side of wrestling Twitter now is I've interacted with so many people in across the world. It is crazy. You know, even if, you know, I've had some people that I've, you know, interacted with on my podcast, but even if they're not on my podcast, just like DMing them and having conversations with them, it's absolutely remarkable. It is so cool, you know, to see and to talk, you know, with someone that is across the world in a whole other place that I've never even been for and they even heard of before, you know, to talk with them. It's unbelievable. And to see their perspective, you know, I've made, you know, I guess podcasting friends, you know, it's cool. It's awesome. But then you have like the negative side where people just like trash every single thing that any other organization does. And they just call out people for what they do. And, you know, someone has an opinion about something, this person might come in and completely bash what they just said when even it's just an opinion. So there's good and bad, you know, and it's very unfortunate because, you know, I you know, for you, like you've been doing, you say so much positive things, you know, it's remarkable. It's awesome. You see, you know, Josh Robinson, who is extremely active on, you know, on the wrestling Twitter, that he is just pure positive. And there's just so many others that you can't even like, I can't even name them all because there's just so many of us that are out there. They're just, we are here to like push each other to do the best that we possibly can. And we like back each other's back to make sure that, you know, that we all are getting the respect that we, you know, kind of like deserve it and doing what we do when it comes to putting out content for, you know, wrestling fans.
Yeah, I've always had the kind of mindset of, especially when it comes to wrestling, I'm not going to enjoy every product out there. That's just a fact of life. There's stuff that just won't connect with me, but it doesn't mean that there's not a fan base out there for it. And I've always had the opinion of, if you're enjoying something and you're invested in it, shout it from the rooftops, because you never know who might kind of look at that and think, yeah, I, you know what, I'm going to check this product out. It may not be for them, but at least they're going to try it. I don't get the attitude of, this is horrible, this is the worst thing that I've ever watched, your opinion, it sucks, and why are you wasting your time promoting this company? But yet they'll sit there and they'll watch a Raw or a SmackDown, and they'll take 5 hours out of the week to watch something that they actively dislike, to go on wrestling Twitter and be like a big shot in shitting on it. Or you'll get the AEW versus NXT fans who will absolutely slam the opposite company even though they've never even watched it. It's just, I don't get that mindset. If you enjoy something, talk about it. If you don't enjoy it, move on. There's enough wrestling out there for you to find something that you will be invested in.
So true. So true. But people, you know what? There are people on Twitter, I know you've seen it, but there's just people out there that if they speak negative about something, they believe that they'll probably get more interaction with people. But the real thing is, like, if I see someone that's just negative and just trashes anything that what they see, I don't even give them the time of day. You know, so, you know, it's just people kind of need to, you know, look at it in a different perspective. And, you know, with the world of wrestling, there's different alternatives. And regardless, like, yes, WWE and AEW is kind of like the more of the mainstay names that we know of in the wrestling world. But there are so much more out there. And I can guarantee you that there is something, an organization out there that you will enjoy that suits you the best. Yeah. And even we might not know about it, but there's something out there for you. You just gotta look for it.
Yeah, and again, that's the amazing part of social media. I mean, for instance, there's a couple of companies in the New York and New Jersey area that I would have never heard of if it wasn't for being active on wrestling Twitter. And now when they put a product out, it's one of the first things that I want to watch. It's the World of Unpredictable Wrestling. That's in New York. And then we've got Synergy, which is based in New Jersey. And, like, I would not have known about these if it wasn't for wrestling Twitter and wrestling social media. So as bad as the kind of toxic side can be, as long as you kind of cultivate a following, or as long as you kind of like cultivate a group of people who you talk to that are positive, it's a cool place to be a member of, is the wrestling Twitter community.
Oh yeah, for sure. But, you know, like, it's always going to be the good and the bad with wrestling Twitter, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll never Yeah, we'll never steer away from that one.
That's it. And a lot of it is, you mentioned, it's kind of like wanting to be the cool kid. I want to shout this down. I want people to kind of like give me that attention. But it's also the anonymity. You can create a character on Wrestling Twitter and you can kind of hide behind that facade, kind of being like a keyboard warrior almost.
Yeah. Oh, there's definitely a lot of those keyboard warriors out there.
So let's get on to your content. What was it that kind of gave you that impetus to not just be a fan who watches wrestling, but to kind of put your voice out there, your opinions out there? What kind of made you want to start doing a podcast?
So with my wrestling podcast, I actually started a podcast probably like a year and a half ago or something like that, somewhere around there, maybe 2 years, where I was literally talking about anything and everything, not just wrestling. Mm-hmm. So it was an idea and I just did it. And I was like, this isn't really even making any sense. And it wasn't actually until I had a guest on there and she's like, you just need to come up with something and just like stick with it. And I'm like, you're right. So then I took like a break and I was kind of like thinking about it. Then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like start a podcast about wrestling. It's going to just be me, and which is fine. So I was like, I'm just going to try to make it as short as I possibly can to a certain extent where someone's not going to just sit and listen to me ramble for an hour, where I feel like they can listen to me for at least, 20 to 30 minutes and talk about wrestling. And that was kind of like my thing, because I, wrestling at the time when I started it, it was, we had AEW. There was just a lot going on. So I was like, this is just like a perfect time to just start it and take it from there and see what happens. There hasn't been that much, I guess, per se of been going on for wrestling as of, for the past 2 or 3 months, which is fine. But that was just kind of like my take into it. I got into it and then here I am.
So there's a million and one wrestling podcasts out there. And one thing for me is I love that. I love the fact that people are able to go out and get their voices out there. It's obviously not going to be something that the majority of us could make a living out of, but it's the fact that we can go and put our voices out there and our opinions and kind of get that feedback. What feedback have you received about the show? Has it been good? Has it been negative? Have there been feedback where people have said maybe you could try this or that? And how has it like affected how you produce the show?
So I've had interactions where, people have said good things. I haven't gotten anything where someone has kind of like recommended, try something new, I guess, which is kind of like a good thing. But I like to listen to a lot of different other wrestling podcasts. Not just kind of like those main ones. Some of the, I guess we're not smaller ones, but I like to call ourselves like the independent podcasters.
Yeah.
So like us independent podcasters, I enjoy listening to a lot. So it's almost like I try to listen and kind of take what others, the way that they host and the way that they talk and the way they approach things and kind of like try to take bits and pieces from others. Just kind of like a wrestler, they take these parts and pieces from wrestlers that they've seen, mm-hmm. and they just kind of make them their own. And that's just kind of like the way I approach it, where I'll listen to someone and other people, and then I'll just kind of like mold it into me.
Yeah, I think we've kind of had a similar kind of pathway through podcasts. I started with the heavy hitters, the likes of Stone Cold, the likes of Jericho, going on to like the Conrad Thompson ones, and whilst they're a really well-produced podcast and really entertaining, they got to a stage where they weren't speaking to me as a wrestling fan. They were almost coming off as an advert. They were shilling you something. And it was when I started listening to independent podcasts where they spoke to me more because they had whilst they didn't have the same opinions of me, they had the same kind of mindset of me of this is a fan and this is my view of wrestling, or this is my take. And I think that's where I've drifted to more listening to fan created podcasts over like the bigger mainstream ones. I think on my subs feed, I've got about 150 different podcasts.
Oh yeah, and it's crazy. And like the more and more you follow someone else, another podcast comes up, you're like, and I try to like, I really do try to, you know, if someone does follow me that is another wrestling podcast, you know, I definitely make the attempt to listen to them. Because if they're, and I know sometimes there might be people out there that will just follow just to follow. Mm-hmm. But if someone does follow me, and if they are a wrestling podcast, I definitely do give them the respect to listen to their product. And, you know, like I said, it's just a good community. It's a good way to open up your eyes and have different views of the world of wrestling through someone else's perspective.
Yep, I totally agree. And I'm the same. If I get a follow by another creator, or they'll get a DM, could you check this out? I'm absolutely happy to do that. I love spreading my kind of podcast knowledge. It's got to a point where I listen to podcasts now with 3 times the speed to get through as many of them as possible.
Maybe I should do that. I never even thought about doing that.
If you do it, go up in stages. Don't just go straight to three times, because it will be a garbled mess. You've got to prepare your brain. So go like 1.5 to 2.5.
I'm gonna do that. You know, and then, you know, the good thing is like with my full-time job is you know, I'm able to actually, you know, kind of have my headphones in and listen to anything I want to. So, you know, I do have a good time frame of listening to it. But I'm going to, when I go to work later on, I am going to try that. And then I'm going to see how that one goes.
I always recommend it to people. I've probably turned a lot of people off listening to podcasts because it'll just be going blah, 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 and they'll be like, nope, that's enough for me.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to see how it turns out.
Yeah, let me know how you found it. So what would you say is the ultimate end goal of the Worst Wrestling Podcast? Where do you want it to be in a year? Where do you want it to be in 5 years? What's the kind of like the plan for the podcast?
You know what? So what the podcast is, you know, I'm not in it to make you know, money like other people are. To me, it's just a fun experiment for me to do it. You know, even though like I have, you know, a website for merch, but it's just I like being creative and coming up things. So, you know, I have a website for merchandise where you can buy t-shirts, and that's just stuff that I come up with. So, but I guess like the ultimate end game is just for me just to continue doing what I'm doing and enjoying what I'm doing and, you know, coming up with different ideas for content. so that's just, you know, and even if remarkably, if I ended up on some type of network or something like that, it would be crazy to me. But, you know, if that ever happened, I obviously wouldn't be against it. But, you know, I'm not going to push it, you know, to that extent where I'm forcing myself to get into a network. You know, if it happened to happen, that would be great. If not, like, I'm not going to be heartbroken about it. I'm still going to continue to do what I'm doing. Because it's wrestling. I love it. And other people that are enjoying it, that's what I'm here for. I'm just to make it enjoyable for everybody else.
Yep, and I love that mindset. It's the same mindset that I have with my approach to podcasting. It's never been about the clout or never been about the money. It's been about having conversations like this where I get to listen to people's stories about why they got into loving the thing that I love and how we've all got to like the same kind of point in life in terms of being a wrestling fan. If it ever got to the point where I didn't enjoy doing it or it was becoming a chore, I'd pack it in tomorrow. That's just always been my mindset. It's never going to be my full-time job. It's never going to be the revenue stream that a lot of other podcasters look for theirs to be. It's fun. It's to break up the kind of monotony of the week, a bit of a stress relief, and to have amazing chats with people like yourself. And I've been incredibly fortunate. I mean, I mean, you've listened to the podcast. You'll probably have heard me call myself an idiot from the north of England, and that's how I see myself. But I've had so much luck in terms of the support and with the networks and the sponsorships. I think the main thing I'm trying to get across is if you have the passion for it, those followers and those networks and the sponsorships and stuff like that will come because you're putting out a product that people are finding entertaining. They can really like attach to you as a creator.
Oh yeah. You know, and like you said, that's what it's all about. It's all about the passion. And, you know, just like anything else, as soon as you start losing that passion, you know, maybe take, you know, a couple of weeks away from it, you know, mm-hmm. or a month or whatever, but, you know, and build that passion back up. So, you know, like you said, when it comes to that, passion is the more of the word of the day for those who enjoy wrestling, but even have thoughts of making a wrestling podcast. You know, even though there are thousands of them out there, there's still someone out there that will enjoy like your views and your opinions of the world of wrestling. And if you have the passion for it, just do it. You know, it doesn't hurt to try not to try, you know?
Yep. I've always had the mindset of you do this to entertain yourself. And if you do that, you're going to find like-minded people who will be entertained by what you put out. If you're doing this to solely because you want to be famous off it or if you want to make money, you're going to fail because you're not being genuine to yourself as a person.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. That is definitely the truth.
You can now get merch for While We Watch at redbubble.com/people/DAJ Kirby. Things like stickers, phone cases, and even mugs. So what I like to do at the end of the show is I like to do some word association, where I'll throw some words or phrases from the world of pro wrestling at you, and like to just hear what the first thing that comes to your mind. How do you feel about that?
All right, let's do this.
Okay. So first, let's go with the guy at the top of the wrestling mountain. Give us your views on Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
He's an evil genius. the only thing that comes to my mind is an evil genius.
Normally, the first reactions are like either people sucking in air or just like, oh my god, Jesus Christ. But yeah, evil genius does explains him to a T. It really does. Let's go with his heir apparent. Let's go with Triple H.
He would be the genius. I think he needs to take over WWE. I think he has a little bit more patience in regards to maybe possibly even getting some guys to the WWE. So I think he just needs to control the WWE. I think it would be a little bit more better for us as fans to let him just take over the reins of the organization.
Do you think that is the way that Vince will go, or do you think it'll go to Shane and Steph? Is that like a Triple H being the head apart dream, or is it something that you genuinely see could happen?
I think so. And I don't think it would go to Shane, because I don't think Shane is probably as invested into WWE as in like a Triple H. I think Shane is a little bit more, he just does it probably maybe because it's his dad. Yeah. I'm not saying that he doesn't love it. I'm just saying that he just probably isn't as invested. I think Shane can just, he would be fine just going off and doing his own thing and not really care. But I think Vince McMahon probably knows that Triple H, if he was to hand it down to someone, I think he knows that Triple H is more of the wrestling kind of wrestling mind and business for taking his baby to maybe the next step.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Shane, you hit the nail on the head. I think he got involved in the business because it was the family business, and I think he, when he stepped away for what, almost a decade, and went to China and set up businesses there, I don't think he missed wrestling. I think he only came back because it was his family business.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly.
So next, let's go with our Triple H's nemesis. Let's go with the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. What do you think about Cody?
Cody has balls. That's all I said. The man has balls. You know, for him to step out of the WWE and put everything in the basket and believe in himself to go out there and make a name for himself, I think he has balls. And, you know, especially in an era where it was, you know, predominantly WWE, and he went out there and he worked independence. He, you know, did Ring of Honor. He did New Japan. I mean, he has balls, and you can't take that away from him. Regardless if he's Dusty's son, like, that doesn't matter. Like, Cody has definitely made a name for himself.
Yeah, and I think that obviously he felt underutilized in WWE, and it was incredibly brave of him to turn away that guaranteed money to, as he says, bet on himself. But I think a lot of people kind of overlook the fact he was living under this massive shadow that his dad has over the wrestling world. It's hard to kind of be your own man when you've got that legacy over you. And then not only that, he had the legacy of his brother, which is just as a big legacy. I think he needed that time away to go and find out who he was rather than be just a member of this Rhodes dynasty.
Oh yeah. For sure. Like I said, he's done this before, and he has a lot more years ahead of him, and mm-hmm. I think, you know, he will definitely get to that stage.
Absolutely. So next, let's go with what's your opinions on women's wrestling?
I think it's been underutilized for the longest time, and I think if you go back and you, even in the 80s for WWE or WWF at the time, they had really good, you know, female wrestlers on there that people don't even probably even remember, even, you know, even think about, but they had a good, you know, little small roster. But I think it's been underutilized. You know, I'm happy that it is where it is right now. And I think, you know, WWE, as much as they like to say that they kind of like started this revolution for female competitors, I think, you know, TNA kind of had that for a while, but since TNA mm-hmm. wasn't such a big name and people didn't really kind of want to give them the credit, they've had, you know, female matches for the longest time, and they've done a lot of good stuff for the longest time before WWE started their revolution.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the TNA women's knockouts division is absolutely amazing, and we've already mentioned about Tessa being the first legitimate world champion in terms of that TNA title. And I think WWE did so well putting Becky front and centre of the company and then kind of having this evolution pay-per-view, and it's almost like they've took a step back by not kind of capitalising on that, that the kind of passion for women's wrestling that there is, and they've not really built anyone up to the level of the Beckys and the Charlottes to utilize this like fan base of women's wrestling fans.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that is true. And they have good talent. You know, you look at any organization, you know, they have the female competitors, they're really good. I mean, some of them really, they even outshine some of the guys. Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit mind blowing to see that, you know, some at times the females don't get as pushed or recognized as they should.
Yeah, I mean you look at the likes of Io Shirai, and there's a case to say that she's potentially the best wrestler in the world, regardless of gender.
Oh yeah, and you know, I was happy and content that you know that they put the NXT title on her. Mm-hmm. We just now have to see where they go from here, though.
Yep, absolutely. And last, let's go with the showcase of the Immortals. Let's go with what's your thoughts on WrestleMania?
WrestleMania is, you know, to me now it's just like more of a party. you know, lately for the past couple of years or so, my buddy, we just kind of been throwing a little bit, you know, small WrestleMania parties. But you know, it's more of a, you know, it's just a big show. You know, you're not going to get like the best matches. You know, you're going to get a bunch of matches. And you're going to be sitting there for 6-8 hours, but it's a show, and it's you know, to make it more fun, you definitely have to have a party.
Yeah. What do you think of how they approached it this year with the 2-day Royal Rumble? Would that be something that you'd like to see happen again, or would you want to go back to like one mega show?
So I think with this year, it worked. Since you know we weren't able to have a live audience, I think it worked. Mm-hmm. The only thing that if they did, New Japan did it, so they did it for their Wrestle Kingdom. Yeah. So they can. It's definitely possible, but I don't know if the WWE fans are that patient enough to wants and see a 2-day event, but yet they'll complain that they're sitting for, you know, 8 hours. So I don't know. it would be a good thing to try.
Yeah,
if I were them, I would just try.
I mean, for the WWE, it'd make great business sense if you can sell out the same arena or the same stadium twice rather than just once, and split it over 2 days. You're going to make twice as much money, but it'll be interesting to see if they do go that way, or if they want to get back to it being like one big huge like show. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next year or so.
Oh yeah, and you know the good thing is that we got, you know, the Firefly Funhouse, we also what people thought of it, and we also got the Boneyard match. So yeah. Those were the positives out of it. You know, they had some good matches on there, but you know, we got those two, you know, I guess cinematic matches, and I would think that if they went to 2 days, if it was live, I don't know if they would still do that though. I mean, unless they, I don't know if they would still do that. I don't know if they would have the cinematic matches if they went to live for 2 days.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see if they did.
You'd struggle with it being a live audience because they'd literally just be watching it on the big screens. And yeah, it would be interesting to see. Like I said, it'll be interesting to see where WWE go, whether they think this is an idea they can run with, or whether it's literally just a holding pattern until we're allowed to have crowds back.
Yeah, we'll have to see. And I think, like we said, I think they should just at least try. You never know. Like, just make the attempt, and if it fails, it fails. You don't do it again. But they're gonna, well, if they are able to, if hopefully, you know, we'll be able to see it live and they'll have a crowd. But you know, next year's WrestleMania is in Hollywood, so you know, like that's a good, probably a good time to try it to 2 days, because you know, like that's a good area for them to try it 2 days. People will spend the money.
And you think of Hollywood, and you think of cinematics, you think of them maybe attempting some more of those like kind of outlandish cinematic matches.
Oh yeah, there's so much ample opportunity for the WWE for the WrestleMania next year, with it being, you know, their first, you know, their live one, being in Hollywood. There's a lot. They hopefully they capitalize, and that's all I gotta say.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, I've really enjoyed having this this time to record. It's I really appreciate you coming onto the show so early at your side of the pond. Let all the Wild Watch listeners know where they can find you on social media, and where they can find the Worst Wrestling Podcast.
So I am on Twitter at Worst Wrestling. I have Instagram, the Worst Wrestling Podcast, but more on Twitter than anything else. More interactions, more discussions and talking, DMing and all that is more on Twitter. So you can find me there. And the podcast, the Worst Wrestling Podcast, is on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, anywhere you listen to a podcast, your favorite podcast, this podcast, I am there.
Yeah, go and give Justin a follow. Go and give the Worst Wrestling Podcast a listen. It is not the Worst Wrestling Podcast, believe me. It's a top quality podcast. It's a fun podcast, and if you enjoy this show, if you enjoy Badlands, you're certainly going to enjoy that show. So definitely go and get involved with Justin over on social media and with his content. And massive thanks again, Justin, for coming on the show. I really, really do appreciate it.
Not a problem, man. Thank you for the invite, and I enjoyed myself. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Not a problem at all. So you can follow me on the Twitter at DJ Kerber. Follow the show at Why We Watch Pod. Again, one last big thank you to Justin for taking the time to sit with me and chat for a while. Thank you all for listening. And that is the end.
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.